I want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. There's a lovely verse here. Ever since I heard that verse, Lord, I've always been gripped by that and it stayed in my mind. And I hope all of you young brothers and sisters will also be gripped by that word and hold it in your hearts, especially the young single people. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. You know, whenever there's a marriage, especially the bride, is dressed in pure white. How wonderful for a young sister to come to the marriage in purity. And that's why I suppose most people dress the bride in white. And it's wonderful to come before, to come to marriage in that condition. But here we're not talking about marriage, we're talking about a spiritual life. And the exhortation here is, let your garments be always white. You know, after we are saved, turn from sin and turn to God. And the Lord gives us garments of righteousness. And not only garments of righteousness, after that He fills us with the Holy Spirit, and then He wants us to walk in white, like it says in Revelation about the church in Sardis. But there are some people there who have not defiled their garments in white. Oh, I love that expression. I hope in the church there will all be some people about whom the Lord can say, I know there are some people in CFC, not all unfortunately, who have kept their garments white. They have not defiled themselves. And that's our birthright and a privilege, brothers and sisters. See, so many people have messed up their life in the past and then they come to the Lord. But it's worse if you mess up a life even after you come to the Lord, and still worse after we come to the church, still go and mess up a life. I don't believe that's God's will at all. And especially to all those who come to the church in their youth, I want to encourage you this morning, preserve yourselves in purity. Keep your garments white. And says, let your head lack no ointment. In other words, God wants you to walk in purity and faithfulness and anointed. You know, David said in Psalm 92, I'll be anointed with fresh oil. I love that verse, Psalm 92. In case you're not familiar with that verse, you can turn to the Psalm 92, verse 10. The second line says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I believe that's God's will for all of us in the church. Brothers and sisters walking in white garments, spiritually speaking, and having an anointing upon their lives. Think how good the Lord is, brothers and sisters. He not only forgives our sins, not only wipes away our past, not only gives us the garments of righteousness, but He gives us grace to be faithful and an anointing. He says we should not be lacking in that. And Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21. This is what I was coming to this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21. Again, a lovely verse that's blessed my heart. Apostle Paul could say, now He which establishes us with you in Christ and is anointed is God. We want to meditate on this verse for some time this morning. It's God who anoints us. It's God who establishes us. Every all of us should be able to say, God has anointed me, just like David could say boldly. I'll be anointed with fresh oil. And oh, may God give us grace to value the anointing, brothers and sisters. You know, when we don't value the anointing, it's just a matter of time that we lose it. Ask yourself, maybe the day you got baptized the Holy Spirit, you were on fire for the Lord. You had a zeal and enthusiasm. Maybe you were full of praise. And today what's happened? Is there a staleness? Is there a dryness? Is there a stagnation in your life? And I want to say this morning, that is not God's will as a church. We should never, never accept that condition. I never want to accept staleness or dryness or stagnation in my life. I want to trust the Lord to always give me a fresh anointing. David said in Psalm 23, "My head thou dost anoint with oil." You know, you see some people who are walking with the Lord. We heard 2 weeks back about those who walked with the Lord. You know, there's something about those who walk with the Lord. There's a freshness. There's a grace. There's an anointing. There's a word of encouragement. And it's so good to be around such people. Just humanly speaking, you know, many people use deodorants, and it's good to hang around with those who got good perfume, externally at least. But it's still greater to hang around with those who got an anointing. And I wonder if you looked at people who got an anointing on their lives. I said, "Lord, I want to look at all those who got your anointing. Now I want to study their lives. I want to follow their example." And you know, we've seen the scriptures, for example, in Judges. See, Israel was in a backslidden condition. And that's the history of God's people. Up and down. Up and down. God will do a work in them, and then they'll be alright. And the leader dies, and they go back to their old backslidden condition. And here we read in the book of Judges. Judges 13. When God's people had backslidden, God raised up a man. And it's very interesting how God raised up a man. I suppose it's because Manoah and his wife were praying perhaps for the Lord to send a deliverer. And then God heard their prayers. And Judges 13 verse 5 says, verse 3, the angel said to the women, "Woman, behold, you're barren and bear is not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. And I pray you, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of Philistines." The reason why God raised up Samson was to deliver God's people from the hand of the enemies. And then God gave a command. We read it again, verse 6. Verse 7. "But he said unto me, Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. You do drink no wine or strong drink." And then we know how later on Samson was born during that time. And God had given a command that his hair should not be cut. And we know verse 25 says, Judges 13, 25. 24 also. "And they called his name Samson. The child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times." He was a young brother, young man, anointed by God, commissioned by God, with a specific ministry to deliver God's plan, and with a specific command not to cut his hair. But we know what happened in the scripture. He began to take the anointing lightly. He began to play around with women. And just a matter of time, he lost the anointing. He did not value the anointing. He was not careful to preserve the anointing that was upon his life. He took it for granted. You know, at different times the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and Samson would do great things. But then, because he was unfaithful in his personal life, we know he allowed a woman to deceive him, and his hair was cut, And the Bible says he became like other man. He lost the anointing. That is a very sad word. See, like verse 20, Judges 16:20. He knew not that the Lord was departed from him. He assumed the anointing rested on him. I want to say this morning, the anointing does not rest on us automatically. You got to fulfill a condition. You got to keep yourself pure. You got to keep yourself faithful. You got to remain humble and obedient and the fear of God. If you want the anointing to rest on you continually. And I want to say to all of you young brothers and sisters, especially, God called you. God brought you to the church. And maybe some of you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But maybe some of you are in danger of losing the anointing. Examine your life this morning. Why? Why is it there's a staleness in your life today? Why is it the same effectiveness, the fervency, the zeal is not there? Maybe today, some girl or some boy has become more interesting for you than the Lord, than His calling, than the ministry the Lord has for you. Or maybe music. Once upon a time, the Lord was so important. You know, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, we are so taken up with Jesus. We are so taken up with the Lord and His Word and His plans and His purposes. Maybe some years have gone by. Today you are occupied with maybe activity, maybe music, maybe some work in the church. But the Lord Himself is gone to the background. And the verse, if you don't even know that you're going down, how wonderful if you have a young someone to come around and say, brother, you're not like what you were. You're losing the anointing in your life. You should be thankful if some brother could come around and exhort you so that you can repent and come back. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us. Maybe never lose the anointing God gave you once, brothers and sisters, just for the sake of a girl or a boy or for some money. Or for some activity, is it worth losing the anointing? I want to say, it's just not worth it. And that's exactly what the devil wants. You know, this verse says, Samson said, you do this for me, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. And that's what the devil wants us, to be like any other man. Worldly man, carnal man, ordinary man. Whereas the Lord wants to give us an anointing. Have a purpose, goal, vision, and a mission, and a passion, and a love for the Lord. Oh, may we never lose the anointing. May we say, Lord, you can take away anything from me. I don't want to lose the anointing till the end of our lives. And I especially pray for the young people this morning that God will give you grace to value the anointing. And maybe some of you never valued it at all. It's time you sought the anointing, brothers and sisters, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and live in the anointing, to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, so the Lord can lead you higher, teach you His plans and purposes. And I want to show you one more person who did not value the anointing. First is Samson, who did not value the anointing because he played the fool with the woman. He lost the anointing. And you know, there's one more person we read in the book of Samuel, Saul. You know, Saul, when the anointing initially, God chose him. You know, Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel 10, we read, verse 1, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and anointed him to be the king of Israel. And I believe Saul too was a young brother, humble brother when he began. And verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you, and you shall prophesy. And you know, that's how you know the Spirit comes on you. When the Spirit comes on you, you speak forth God's word, you prophesy. And it says, you will be turned into another man. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, a new creation. I believe the Lord wants to give us a new desires, new longings, new interest. That's why it says, set your mind on things above. And we know how Saul was anointed. But Saul did not continue in the anointing. In a short time, he could not remain within his boundaries. He could not remain humble and obedient. And hence, in a short time, the Bible says God's heart was grieved because Saul was not obedient. And Saul lost the anointing in such a short time. And not only lost the anointing, he says here, still verse 1 Samuel. Verse 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Because Saul lost the anointing, he says here, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. It's worse enough to lose the anointing. And how horrible if an evil spirit could come on him and trouble him. And that's what happens, brothers and sisters, when you don't give yourself wholly to the Lord. Somehow Satan takes charge of your life. And that's why we encourage brothers and sisters to be wholehearted, so that sin and Satan and the world, they lose their power over us. Like we sang this morning, Lord, reign over me. When you give yourself to the Lord reigns over you. The Lord rules over your life. And the Holy Spirit can control your life. And things get better and better and better. And then we can become useful for the Lord. And maybe learn a lesson from these two people, Samson and Saul, who were genuinely anointed by the Lord, who continued the anointing for some time, yet lost the anointing. And yet at the same time we see Samuel. Oh, Samuel was also a young brother. You know, Samuel was just born. And it says here, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. There's a lovely verse in connection with what we heard this morning. It's God who anoints us, and it's God who establishes us. Samuel is a young man. God laid hold of him. There was a grace on Samuel's life. And verse 20 says, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Oh, I want God to raise up many young brothers and sisters amongst us so that it can be manifest. God's raised up these young brothers to serve the Lord. Samuel was like that. He was young, but there was authority over his life. He was young, he was not shy and timid and saying, oh brother, I can't do this, I'm just a humble brother. No, Samuel did not have any of this false humility in his life. Samuel knew God laid hold of him from a small age. And 1 Samuel 3, verse 19. It says here, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. What a wonderful expression. Samuel grew as a young boy, as a teenager, as a young brother. And the Lord was with him and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. When Samuel spoke, everybody listened. When Samuel spoke, people didn't go to sleep. When Samuel spoke, there was authority. So you don't have to think, I got to be an old man for people to listen to you. You know, when there's an anointing in your life, when there's grace upon your life, there'll be authority. You'll find the Lord supporting you, backing you. And oh, may the Lord raise up many such young brothers and sisters and even older ones whom the Lord can back up. So that people can say, I can see this brother. There's an anointing on his life. And you know, it's the anointing that will make a difference in your life and in your ministry. And we know, along with Samuel, there's another young boy, David. God raised up, because Saul failed the Lord, God raised up another man. And you know, the Lord anointed David from the time he was young. And David too lived in the anointing for a long time. And it says about David, 1 Samuel 17 verse 8, David was good in music, a mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. He was a young teenager. Got laid out of him. And that's why, because David gave himself to the Lord, I believe there was such an anointing on David's life. When David sang, there was an anointing in his music. I believe David is one of the few anointed musicians that we can think of. Oh, he could praise the Lord from the heart. And even his music was so good that even though Saul was under the influence of the evil spirit, it says he was refreshed by David's music. May the Lord raise up such anointed musicians, anointed singers, you know, who can bring such blessing to the church. And David continued in the anointing for long. Unfortunately, somewhere in the middle, David too backslid. And one day, he lost the anointing because he also played around with sin. He backslid. But when the Lord spoke to him, he repented thoroughly. And you know, we read David's prayer in Psalm 51. Verse 11. Cast me not away from your presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, David valued the anointing. He knew the difference the anointing made in his life. He could sense he lost the anointing because of sin, because of adultery and murder. But he repented so thoroughly and prayed, Lord, restore me. Don't take away the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, this morning, have you lost the anointing in your life? Maybe it's because of sin. I don't know what sin you've done. I don't know your private life. But if you have lost the anointing, it's good for you to repent like David and say, Lord, restore me, Lord. Don't take away the Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of salvation. If you seek the Lord like that, I want to say the Lord will restore the anointing to you. If you value the anointing like David, God will restore you this morning. We have a God of restoration. Oh, how wonderful the Lord is. I don't care how much you've backslidden this morning. I don't know, I don't care what sins you've committed. But if you can acknowledge, Lord, I'm not like what I was before. One day you touched me. One day you saved me. One day you baptized me. One day I sensed your anointing. But today, Lord, it's gone from my life. If you can humble yourself and say, Lord, please, I'm willing to pay any price. I don't want to lose the anointing. And I hope you will have sense to say, Lord, I don't want to follow the way of Samson. I don't want to go the way of Saul. Lord, restore the anointing to me. And sometimes I feel sad when I see brothers and sisters, after losing the anointing, acting as if nothing happened. How terrible, brothers and sisters, if the anointing is gone and you don't even know. You lost the anointing, like Samson. Oh, may the Lord save us from such tragedy. Say, Lord, if the anointing is gone, I want to know why the anointing is gone from my life, Lord. Is there any some secret sin? Is there any disobedience in my life? Is there any worldliness in my life? God is not a respecter of persons, brothers and sisters. I want to come back to that verse. He who anoints us and establishes us is God. When you are anointed, God's intention is to establish you, make you stable, make you steady, so that you can fulfill God's plans and purposes. And not only that you can grow up in the church as a steady, stable, strong, mature brother. You know, we read one more person in Acts chapter 10. Maybe I'll come to that a little later. And you know, Jesus was a young brother. When he died, he was only 33 and a half years old. And Jesus was a young man. Bible says in Hebrews 1:9, he was, because he hated sin and loved righteousness, God anointed him with the oil of gladness. And not only that, it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Let's look at the example of Jesus. This verse was fulfilled in Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, And brothers and sisters, Jesus, in his young age, he was so anointed. And we also looked at this verse many, many times, Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. When the Lord anoints you, you go around doing good. You go around blessing people and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, the devil is oppressing so many. And you need an anointed man to deliver all those who are oppressed of the devil. And the Lord, maybe the Lord wants to send you. He wants to anoint you. He wants to lay hold of you. Since God was with him. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I want to follow you in your footsteps. I want that anointing that rested on Jesus. Imagine, if you don't even want that anointing, how in the world God can give that anointing to you? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, unless we are desperate, Lord, I want that anointing at any cost. And if you say, I'll pay any price, just like Jacob. Jacob said, Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know, when the Lord can make out whether you're serious or earnest or desperate, or if you say, Lord, if you say, will you give me, Lord? Otherwise, fine. The Lord knows that you really don't mean it. You really don't value it. You don't cherish it. You really don't want it. If you want it, that'll be the cry of your heart day and night. Lord, I want the anointing to rest on me. And just imagine what a difference it'll make to the church if the anointing can rest on us every day. Not just on Sunday morning when we come to the meetings. How wonderful, brothers and sisters. I pray this morning that God will give us a longing in our hearts. Lord, I want that anointing that rested on Jesus. And Jesus was so careful that he never lost the anointing in his life. You know, human beings are sometimes careless, and that's why sometimes one can lose the anointing, at least for a period of time. But Jesus was so faithful, that's why the anointing always rested on him. Oh, maybe all follow the example of Jesus. And it's not only Jesus, we see also in Acts chapter 2 about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. But Peter was a disciple of Jesus. Even though he betrayed the Lord, he repented thoroughly. He wept and turned to God. And what was the result? The Lord restored Peter. And you know, the same Peter who could not face a woman, now he was so anointed after the day of Pentecost. And he gets up, and when you get time, brothers and sisters, read how Peter preached. Peter didn't preach in an apologetic way. You know the way Peter preached. You people crucified Jesus, but the Lord raised him up. Oh, there was such an anointing in his preaching. He was not speaking from his head. It came from the heart. There was a genuine anointing in his message. And it says when Peter preached, verse 27, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And Peter exalted Jesus in his message. He didn't speak about himself. He says, verse 36, let the house of Israel know surely that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He exalted the Lord. And you know, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we'll get light on our sin. And when the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us, we can do the worst sin and we think we're okay. Oh, these people were so convicted of their sins. And they said, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Be baptized. For the forgiveness of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you see in chapter 3 and 4 how Peter continued to preach. There was such a powerful anointing on his life. You know, even when they tried to put him in prison. You know, this verse he said, chapter 4 verse 86, and Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and said unto them, verse 12, this salvation in no other name. They asked Peter to shut up. Peter said, sorry, I can't shut up. I got to speak. There's something coming from my heart. And that's the result of the anointing. Nothing can stop you. Oh, may God give us grace to follow the example of Peter. And we see in chapter 6 about another young brother called Stephen. And verse 5 says, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And not only Stephen, one more. And verse 8 says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. You know, Stephen was chosen to help in the kitchen, by the way, to serve food. But Stephen preached such an anointed message that day. He knew the scriptures. He could go on from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament. Oh, he knew the scriptures, and God used Stephen powerfully. And Stephen spoke in such a way, it said again, look at the way how Stephen spoke. You are stiff-necked, uncircumcised in your heart. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Are you resisting the Holy Spirit this morning in your life? You heard some wonderful truths in this church. Are you resisting the Holy Spirit? And verse 54 it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Oh, they didn't repent here. In the day of Pentecost they repented, but here, oh, they resisted, they hated him. But verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Spirit, I long that we'll have more Stephens in our midst. So full of the Holy Spirit, so full of the Word of God, so full of the anointing. And we read about one more person in Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preached Christ to them. Even this man was so, and there was such an anointing on Philip's life. He could lead that eunuch to the Lord. And we read about one more person in Acts chapter 11, about Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. We want more Stephens and Philips and Barnabas in our midst. And we read also about Cornelius, Acts chapter 10. He was not even a Christian. He was hungry and thirsty. And the Bible says God heard his prayer, and the Lord told him to go and send for Peter. And he sent for Peter. And when Peter began to preach, and Peter could not even finish the message, it says here, verse 44, while Peter yet spoke this word, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Oh, I want to be like Cornelius. Brothers and sisters, how have you come to the meeting this morning? Have you come to the meeting like Cornelius? Longing to hear God's word. So hungry and thirsty and needy. What a difference it will make to the church if you are like Cornelius. Not just drifting along, dragging ourselves to the meeting. Coming with such a hunger and thirst that the Holy Spirit can be poured out upon us. May the Lord give us such a longing to value the anointing in our lives. Say, Lord, I want to be like Cornelius. And it says here, Jesus is the head and we are the body. And the Lord wants to anoint the members of the body of Christ also equally, brothers and sisters. Not only the Lord is anointed, now we are the members of the body of Christ. Maybe say, Lord, I want the same anointing that rested on Jesus and Peter and Stephen and Philip and Barnabas. Lord, give me that anointing in my life. The anointing, it says, that will break the yoke. You know that verse in Isaiah chapter 10? Verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You let the Lord anoint you and you will be freed of all bondages in your life. And not only you will be free, you will free others from all bondages. And I want to say the Lord needs you, brother and sister. The Lord needs you to be so anointed that you yourself are free from all bondages, and the Lord can use you to free others who are bound by Satan. What a fantastic ministry in the church. To be so anointed. And you know, when you are anointed, the Lord will also make you to be established in the faith. It says here in Acts chapter 16 verse 5. Acts 16 verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith, increased in number daily. You know, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and walk in obedience to the Lord and are careful to preserve yourself in purity, in humility, in lowliness, and in faithfulness, the Lord will establish you. In other words, you will not be a brother who is tossed to and fro, one day up, one day down. No, you will be established. Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2, I sent Timothy to establish you. Now Paul had a burden that others should be established. 1 Thessalonians he had a burden for others, and was to say, and sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God, and a fellow labor in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. God laid hold of another young brother called Timothy, and he was such an anointed man. And Paul said, Timothy, I want you to go to this church, and I want you to establish the brothers and sisters. I hope the Lord can lay hold of you. Why not, brothers and sisters? Or maybe let the Lord anoint us, establish us. And not only that, you come back to that verse we began in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 21. He which establishes us with you in Christ and anoints us, God, He has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Lord not only anoints you and establishes you, He seals you. I like that. In other words, the Lord says, She belongs to me. Then you can't belong to the devil. Then you can't belong to the world. Has the Lord sealed you, brother and sister? Or you say, brother, I don't want the seal of the Lord. Go ahead. The devil will put a seal on you. If you don't want the Lord to seal you, the devil will... You don't have to invite the devil. He'll put a seal on you. Oh, I want to have nothing to the devil. Like we heard the other day. I don't want to give any place to the devil. Let the Lord seal me. I belong to Jesus, like we sing the song. I love that song. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Can you say this morning, I belong to Jesus? I don't want to belong to the world. Not even for a second. I don't want the devil control me. Any part of my life. I don't want darkness to have any power over me. I belong to Jesus. Oh, maybe let the Lord anoint us, establish us, and seal us, so that it doesn't have to be written about you, that you became like other men. Let it be told about you. You were different from all the others. There was a grace. There was an anointing about that brother. He lived for the glory of God. He lived to fulfill God's purposes, like it says about David. He lived to serve the purpose of God in his generation. And I want to tell all of you, brothers and sisters, this morning, especially if you have backslidden, the Lord wants to restore you and heal you. And I hope this morning you learn to value the anointing. Maybe you lost it. Or maybe you never had it at all. It's quite possible. Some of you never had the anointing. It's time you sought the Lord. Maybe you had the anointing once upon your life, but today it's gone. It's time to seek the Lord. Ask yourself, because you played the fool with sin, that the anointing is gone from your life. Oh, I hope we'll humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't want to lose the anointing. Please restore me, Lord. And will you pray, Lord, till I die or till you come, let the anointing rest on me, Lord, all the days of my life. Don't you want to be such an anointed brother and sister in the church? I'll close with that verse in Psalm 133. We have looked at it many times. Psalm 133. how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is it's like the precious ointment. Oh, the anointing can come down on the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters in the church. There can be a flow of the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 3, there the Lord commanded the blessing. Oh, I believe the Lord wants to lead us higher. He wants to give us that ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of life, where there's no staleness and dryness and stagnation, and there's always freshness, and the Lord can lead us to such a fantastic life. Don't you settle down for a third-rate Christian life. May the Lord give us a spirit of repentance, and may the Lord give us grace to value the anointing like never before. Amen. You know, maybe we'll sing a song, chorus, and after that,
it is always refreshing to hear about the anointing, because it's the anointing that really refreshes us. And when you hear anointed words through an anointed person, it's really encouraging. I was so blessed this morning to hear what we heard this morning. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 that it was God who anoints us. And before He anoints us, something happens that God calls us. Before the anointing, there is something that precedes, that is the calling. God first calls us and then He anoints us. We read that here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We were called through God. And it is because He has called us, He will do what it says here in the previous verse. He will confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who confirms us, not we. We need to cooperate with God, because I can't clap with only one hand. I need another hand. So when God calls me, I need to respond to Him. And when I respond to Him, then the work begins. We read a very encouraging word in John 15, verse 16. Here Jesus says, John 15, verse 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Or in other words, I called you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. You see, it is Jesus who called us first. We didn't come running after Him. It is He who came after us. When Adam sinned, God didn't wait for Adam to come in repentance to Him. In fact, He came to him. He came behind him. He said, He came to the garden and said, "Where are you, Adam?" The same thing God calls us today. If we have gone away from Him, it is Him who takes the initiative. It is He who comes after us. Jesus said, "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." So it is Jesus who takes the initiative. When He takes the initiative, then all I have to do is respond to Him. Not harden our heart or be stiff-necked like we read. I was thinking about this. When God calls us with a purpose. And that purpose is, we know in Romans 8:29, to conform us to the image of Christ. To make us more and more like Him, so that He can have many brothers, younger brothers and sisters. We read in 1 Peter 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verse 8 onwards. It says here, "Be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The work of the enemy is always to, thwart God's plan for us and to put stumbling blocks along our way, to stop us from going and to always, catch us so that he may devour us. He always wants to stumble us, tempt us. Temptation always, by the way, comes only from the devil. God never tempts, because God cannot be tempted. He is too holy to be tempted, and he is too loving to tempt you either. He will not tempt us. When any of us is tempted, let us not say, like James says in his epistle, let us not say that I am tempted of the Lord. It is because of the fleshly desires that are there within us, we are tempted, and externally by the devil, whom resist firm in the faith, verse 9, knowing that the same experiences of sufferings are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will do, let's count them, he himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us." Claim this. Lord, you have called me, and I have a calling on my life, and I trust you to do what you have called me for, that you will perfect me, that you will confirm me, that you will strengthen me, and that you will establish me. And it is God's responsibility, not ours. We only respond to him, and we only do what he wants us to do. When we come to him, he said, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out." So we can have that confidence and come boldly to him, fully knowing that he will never turn us away, that we are always accepted. We are always accepted in the Beloved. And it is great to know our calling and never to doubt that God will leave us somewhere along the way, halfway through. There's one more very encouraging word that I always remember one brother shared very long ago when I was a young Christian. That is in Philippians. That is stuck with me. Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. It says, "I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." So we can be confident of this one thing at least in our life, that he who began a good work in you, in me, will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete what he has begun. Jesus, God never leaves anything half done. He always does and completes what he has begun. And we need to believe that and cooperate with him. And last verse here in Jude. It's the second last book in the New Testament. Jude, verse 24, it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and stumbling, and able to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever." Amen, it says. It is he who has called us, and he will keep us from falling and from stumbling. We need to believe that and be established in this, and not doubt, because God is a God who always keeps his promises. He will not say one thing today and another thing tomorrow. So don't be confused by what you read somewhere else. When God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, and in another place you read, not in the Bible, in some other book, it says that God the Father has no son. Whom do you believe? I would rather believe this Bible, not another book which says that God has no son. I mean, he was not son according to the flesh, but he was son of God according to the Spirit. He was a co-regent with the Heavenly Father. And he became son when he came into the earth. So, whatever God has said, his words are A and Amen in Christ Jesus. And in case there is anybody here who is feeling bad, or who feels let down, or who feels that they have failed the Lord, I have an encouraging word to you. I'll close with this, just as we read now. That's in Judges chapter 17. Judges 17. I'm sorry, 16. Judges 16, verse 28. We read about Samson. He blew it up and he lost the anointing. Sad words, it says that he didn't know that the Lord had left him. And then when everything was over, he was helpless. He was absolutely helpless. If you are in a situation like that today, you can pray like this, like Samson prayed in verse 28. O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. We can pray this from our heart. Lord, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. You think the Lord let him down? Even when he was backslidden and lost the anointing and God's wrath was on him, finally he repented. He said, Lord, just this one time you give me the grace and strength. Strengthen me. And he killed on that day more people than he ever killed in his life. God answered his prayer. We can ask like this. And we can also come back like Peter came back to the Lord. Peter wept bitterly, it says. He didn't utter a word, he wept bitterly. It is an attitude of the heart. And when he wept bitterly, the Lord knew his heart. He didn't say, I have sinned. Judas said in the very next chapter, I have sinned. But Judas didn't find place for repentance. But Peter was restored and he was able to bless, and we are being blessed by him. May the Lord help us.
Yeah, what a good combination to hear about the God's anointing in such an anointed way, and to hear such a hopeful word from Brother Charles. What a good follow-up. I would like us just to look briefly. The time is short, but there's a verse in Job. We know that Job suffered. Job was a godly man. We know that all these things happened to him, and he said he cursed the day he was born and so on, and he gave a great lament, and we read about that in chapter 3. And then he says toward the end of chapter 3, for my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. This is how he felt after all of this that had befallen him. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. Now that was the last that we read of what he had to say just then. And then along comes this guy and says, yet who can keep from speaking? Behold, you've instructed many. He's reminding Job of what he has done. He has instructed many, and you have strengthened the weak hands. You have upheld him who was stumbling. Job needed to be reminded. He was dejected. and you have made firm the feeble knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. I wouldn't expect a word like impatient to come there. It says right after that, it touches you and you are dismayed. That I understand. Dismayed, dejected, horrified, sad, but impatient. This spoke to me. Then he goes on to say, is not your fear of God your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? What happened with Job here, fortunately, not permanently, and he wound up better than his friends, but he got sidetracked. He got sidetracked not just by what all of us understand when we get dejected, when these trials come, and there's a family in Canada, in the Smith's friends, this brother, he came home and his house had burned down. He had, I think, 13 children, the wife and all 13 children, and the entire house burned down. Everybody died. Huh? Does that sound like Job? You can understand the dejection, but impatience, there's something here. And I would like to go on just as briefly as I possibly can to read something in Isaiah. You know, in Isaiah, this is a book of many things, and many things come out here, and many prophecies, and it's full of a mixture of history and prophecy and a mixture of you know, getting on the Israelites and how rebellious they are, and then talking about God and how He will restore them and help them, much like we heard Brother Charles talking about. But it says here in Isaiah 30, ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And this is when the anointing disappears from us. People have plans. I remember I had big plans for my master's degree. And I got cocky. I got high-minded. And I, when things didn't go right, I had a little self-pity. And I also had, I was presumptuous. I was many things. Like Job, we can understand he was dejected, but he got impatient. That's when he missed it. That's when the thing that he feared came upon him. That's when he lost. What I want to read now is such a comforting word, and it's something we know so well. It talks about those who set out to go down to Egypt. I'll just read a little more about this. Without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. And we can seek protection and shelter in so many things because we get knocked off balance and we lose that quietness and composure. And now I'd like to go to the part that talks about that. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. This is in Isaiah 30, verse 15. The Holy One of Israel. In returning, we heard that we can get off base. We could have had the anointing, but have lost it. And we heard how God doesn't do anything halfway, and God will settle us. And we heard so good about how this can be a source of strength for us. It says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And quietness here does not mean sedateness. It does not mean, quiet, I'm quiet, you know, they're talkative and all. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with staying on the path God puts you on. There you're quiet. That's the quietness here before God's face. You're listening. You're not listening to Satan. He's saying, no. It says another place, we don't have time to read this. You prophets, stop prophesying. Shut up. I'm going down to Pharaoh. They've got these big horses, man. They've got steeds that are worth riding, you know, all this puny stuff you're talking about. We're going down to Pharaoh. We're going down to Egypt. That's where all the action is. And then it goes on. I have no time to read it, but read what goes further there from 15, and it'll say, yeah, you think these are horses. You think they'll give you what you want. The only thing you'll get is horses that'll run you down. But then it goes on, and here it comes. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall flee. it's a little disheartening, right? Because it says, but you were unwilling. And you said, we will flee upon horses. And therefore comes this. But then comes verse 18. There, just after he says, you'll wind up like a signal on a hill. In other words, you'll wind up stripped of everything that was your protection. Everything that you put your confidence in. But then it says, therefore, the Lord waits. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. And therefore, he exalts himself. What an odd way to put it, but what a blessed way to put it. The Lord exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Brothers, I want the anointing in my life. I've had the anointing at times. I've lost it at times. I've been willful, headstrong, bullheaded, lacking faith in what God, listening to others where I shouldn't have. All kinds of things can get in there. The quietness, the rest, the confidence disappears. And we need that confidence. We need that quietness. We need that trust that God gives. It's an inner anointing that you are on the way. Here is the way. Walk on it. And as we heard, God doesn't do a halfway job. He'll finish the work. And as we heard Brother Newton say, God doesn't, we don't have to be third-rate Christians. And it doesn't matter how weak you are. You can say, oh, I'm a brother, I'm weak. Nobody has as much sexual temptation as I have. Nobody is as talkative as I have. And nobody's as lazy. That's my particular one, you know, that I sometimes have self-pity about. Nobody's as lazy as I am. That's no excuse for that. Okay, so I am. Maybe I am the most lazy person in the world. Maybe. But so what? That's no excuse. We have a wonderful calling. And we can have, we don't seek refuge in all these outs. And God will bless us. And we can have, we can regain the anointing. And we'll bless the church with it. Thank God.
Let's close the eyes and respond to God this morning. And I'm speaking particularly to many young brothers and sisters, whom the Lord called. The Lord laid hold of you when you were young. And today, maybe you're backslidden. The Lord wants to restore you this morning. The Bible says, today if you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. The Lord needs you. Find out what is making you lose that anointing. Get alone with God, brothers and sisters. Are you rebelling like Saul? Rebellion can take away the anointing. Or like Samson, you become careless with sin. Are you living in sin? That's why the anointing is not there. The Lord wants to anoint you and restore you this morning. Will you say, Lord, I don't want to be a religious person. The anointing rested on Jesus. Oh, may we say, Lord, I want the anointing to rest on me every day of my life. I wonder how many of you are interested in this anointing this morning. It's not just for young people. It's for every brother and sister in the body of Christ. I believe everyone can be so anointed and live under the anointing and bless the church. Like Mary. Oh, she brought the anointment and anointed Jesus. And some of us can be so anointed that you can bless the church. Will you say, Lord, I want this anointing. I'm desperate, Lord. I need the anointing. I can't live without it. And if you're desperate, the Lord will give it to you. Desperate like Jacob. He is God who anoints It's God who establishes. It's God who seals you. Oh, may we say, Lord, anoint me, establish me. And put your seal on me, Lord. I'll never, never go back on you. Will you talk to the Lord this morning and settle the matter once for all? The Lord needs many, many anointed brothers and sisters in this church. Don't worry about your lunch. Ask yourself this morning, how much do you value the anointing? The Bible says Esau despised his birthright. And even when he repented, he couldn't find any place of repentance. Later on it says, the Bible says, let there be no immoral person, godless, like Esau says. Oh, let there be no immoral person in our midst. We say, Lord, I don't want to despise the anointing. Yeah, the Lord is patient. If you repent, He'll hear you and accept you this morning. Father in heaven, we seek your face this morning. I pray you'll have mercy on us as a church, Lord. Lord, we pray that you'll give us a deep spirit of repentance, Lord. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge our lack where we failed you, Lord. And we pray this morning that you'll restore the hearts of many, Lord. Many young people, Lord, we pray. Lord, you'll help them to value the anointing and come back to you, Lord. That they lay hold of you, Lord. Give you the first place in their lives. We pray for the church, Lord, that, Lord, the brothers and sisters may live under the open heaven, Lord. Yes, Lord, lead us higher, we pray, Lord. Oh, give us grace to value the anointing and honor you and live as we ought to live on this earth, Lord, fulfilling your plans and purposes in our generation, Lord. Pray that you will stir the hearts of the young people this morning and grip their hearts, Lord. And even, Lord, we pray you will heal us this morning. We trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Move in me, precious Lord. Move in me, precious Lord. Move in me, precious Lord. One more time. To fulfill your precious word. Move in me, God is moving one more time. God is moving. God is moving. Oh, move us, Lord. Move mightily, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.